If you've clicked on this video, you've probably reached your breaking point. And you've realized that your anxious attachment style is making you ugly. It's making you shaking at the thought of being abandoned, being alone, being rejected, cheated on, etc. Maybe you just had a breakup and you think that your life is over without this person and you're totally spiraling. Or you keep chasing reassurance from your partner and having extreme relationship anxiety, and that is preventing you from living in the moment with them. Do you seek endless reassurance? Do you overanalyze every interaction that you have with a romantic partner or just people in general? Do you put your partner's needs before yours and become a yes woman and do things when you don't really want to do them, all because you fear being thrown away or rejected if you don't please them in the moment? Deep down, do you fear that you're not worthy enough for your current or dream relationship? Babe, I was the queen and leader of the anxious attachment movement, okay? And I've probably done and felt almost everything that we're going to talk about in this video. But what I need you to know right now is that no matter who you have in your life and no matter for how long, you are the only constant in your life and can only be abandoned if you abandon yourself. My goal today is to bring you back to this, and it will be hard, I'm warning you now, but it'll be so worth it. Not only will it make you so much more attractive, but you will have a newfound sense of self-worth and just overall security. Welcome or welcome back to The Creation of Her. It's been a while. I took a well-needed break. I'm in a new city now. I'm in London. I'm still figuring out the setup. This podcast is available on YouTube or on the go on any podcast platform, so you choose how you want to listen. The video chapters are on the screen or in the show notes, so if you need to skip to any part, you do you. Let's get into it. Before going into your specific attachment style, you need to understand what the four attachment styles are. I'll give you a brief introduction. Our main goal is secure attachment, and these kind of people tend to feel comfortable with intimacy. They're usually warm and loving in relationships, and they have an overall positive view of themselves and of other people, and that helps them form stable and long-lasting bonds. And in general, they still experience attachment, heartbreak, and emotions, but they don't absolutely completely spiral and spend their entire relationship in relationship anxiety. People who are anxiously attached will crave closeness and intimacy, but they're often worried that their partner is not reciprocating their feelings, and these people tend to be overly dependent or constantly seeking reassurance. Avoidant attachment, also called dismissive, these people value their independence, their self-sufficiency, etc., and they may feel uncomfortable with closeness and tend to keep partners at like an arm's length emotionally. These are the kind of people that like will catch feelings and run away. And lastly, fearful avoidant attachment, which is a mix of the last two. These people desire close relationships but also fear them at the same time, so this leads to inconsistent behavior in relationships and literally just spiritual warfare. If you're anxiously attached, you need to understand what it means to be so. There's so much beauty in learning yourself, and especially in healing from your anxious attachment. You need to understand what it exactly means, what the signs are, so that you can see it in yourself first. I want you to be able to identify these behaviors in yourself, and then we'll go to the action steps on how to shift from anxious to secure. So what I find really helpful is to understand that anxious attachment comes from somewhere. We're not born with anxious attachment, and it could be a really big thing. Usually that happened in your childhood, or it's something just small that you absorbed as a child and now it led to this anxious attachment style. It could be in your childhood because there may have been some inconsistencies in your parenting. Not saying that your parents didn't do their best, but it just happens sometimes. Maybe you were focusing on your caregiver and what they needed so that you can get a certain reaction or not get a certain reaction out of them. I'll give you an example from my life, which is not something like outstandingly traumatic, but it just happens. And mom, if you're watching this, you did your best. These are just little connections that are important to make. For example, my mom is a very anxious person, so there's a lot of things that I used to do for her to not feel anxiety. Now, when I got older and I told her that I wanted to move to Europe and not stay in the US, it made her very anxious, and she said, well, I want you to be close to me. And you can like just tell she was being anxious, and although it hurt me inside to be like, oh, I don't want my mom to feel uncomfortable, that's not my problem, you know? At the end of the day, I have to do me and chase my dreams and deal with the uncomfortable feelings of moving away and knowing that she will have a bit of anxiety and that she'll get over it. If I hadn't been aware of this and been actively working on healing my anxious attachment, maybe I would have stayed in the US just to cater to her feelings, you understand? Or if you had like an explosive dad or something, maybe you were tiptoeing like around his feelings and your actions and everything to not set him off. A big sign that you're anxiously attached is if you do compulsive caretaking. So are you people-pleasing, and are you overly focused on, oh, if they're going to leave me, can I trust them? Can I fall and be attached? You're basically giving your internal security to somebody else. This is something I used to do, and I'm sure there's some of you that do it too. But maybe you're asking God or whoever, the universe, for signs of if you have the green light to fall in trust. That way you can just stop thinking about being reassured and be fully codependent. Do you overread others and their reactions and their face and their body language? Anxiously attached people do this because subconsciously they think that the other person's mood is a reflection of their relationship, which is not true. We just all have our moods, we all have our ebbs and flows, and it doesn't reflect on where you stand with somebody. Do you find it uncomfortable being alone, and do you find it hard to set boundaries for yourself because you're scared of losing said person? If you're you're with a person who asks to hang out pretty often, do you find it hard to say no and just set boundaries because you have your own life and your own responsibilities? And does this lead you to overcompensating and then in turn not having time for your responsibilities? Has that been there, girl? Maybe you grew up thinking that people are with you or like you because you're comfortable to be with. When I was younger, I deep down had such a fear of being that needy girl because I grew up with all boy cousins and I always had guy friends growing up, which again has to do with this whole situation as well. And I would hear them talk about being needy girls, so I was always trying to be like the most comfortable and not needy person, but deep down I was very, very, very needy. I have an older brother, so growing up I would see him like get grounded because, you know, he was the first one to make all the mistakes, and my parents would always say what a good kid I am, etc. So I became a good kid for me to not get turned on and not get grounded or badmouthed. And not that they would ground me or hit me or do anything like that. These are all normal parts of childhood, but this is just how my child's brain thought. So naturally I made myself an easy person to deal with, or at least I tried. I'm not really that easy to deal with anymore. Do you need validation from people regarding your looks, your intelligence, your success, etc.? If you have anxious attachment, you need somebody to tell you that you're amazing versus deciding that for yourself. If nobody's told you that you're good at this skill, then you're not. If you are anxiously attached, you might find yourself putting up with unhealthy relationships and giving excuses instead of leaving because you're scared of being alone, or you're scared that you'll never find somebody who measures up, which is a universal feeling after a breakup. Maybe you get sudden anxiety, like for example, if somebody is not answering your texts as fast as they usually do, or they haven't called you today yet, you immediately freak out and think the worst, like there's a car accident, they're ghosting you, they're cheating, etc. This is important. You do things to test and reassure yourself, such as excess calling or texting, or you withdraw to see how they react. It's all part of getting that reassurance. Or you're being manipulative, basically just trying to get them to respond to reassure your anxious attachment style. You may even self-sabotage and end up pushing people away to do these things for reassurance. And I've done this too. Maybe things are getting so good that you're scared of being abandoned that you just sabotage the relationship and completely push the other person away. But babe, you cannot be abandoned. You can only be abandoned if you abandon yourself internally, because at the end of the day, you are born with yourself and you die with yourself. You are the only constant in your life. You are the only person who is always with yourself. People come and go, people pass away, people break up. Don't abandon yourself and you will never be abandoned. I saw this in another video, but you have to see yourself as a cake, this whole cake, and the flavor and the consistency will never go away. You'll always be this delicious, amazing cake. You might just change those sprinkles or those toppings, but if those are taken away, the flavor and the consistency of that cake does not change. Those toppings are just bonuses and they're free to stay if they work, and if they don't work with the flavor palette, they go. Okay, last few, just so you guys really understand yourselves. Are you constantly checking another person's social media or their WhatsApp availability? Are you a yes girl who cannot say no? So if they need to make you food but you're tired, you say yes. Because it's a woman's job, so if you don't do it, that person is gonna think of you less or think you're less of a woman or... Mm-mm. If they ask you on a date and you had prior plans but you say yes because you're scared of, I don't know, losing the moment or the date, you're just scared of saying no because of what if they throw you away or stop liking you as much. God forbid. You are preoccupied with somebody else's existence besides your own, and your world spirals when somebody is not close to you. And if you've been or are going through a breakup now and can no longer search for reassurance from that person, you are searching for reassurance from other sources, such as asking people, do you think he's gonna come back? What do you think he's gonna do? You're looking for signs, you're asking for signs if he's gonna come back, if da da da, or you're obsessing over TikTok tarot cards. If you know, you know. But girl, let me tell you, you cannot always rely on other people's actions, moods, or emotions, because like I said, we all have our ebbs and flows of life. You may be with somebody that you absolutely adore. This is your person. And you're still gonna go through your happy, your sad, your frustrated, your mad moments. And that doesn't mean that just because you're going through regular human emotions and may have regular human reactions that you adore that person less. Because you know that your moods are just your moods and that person has nothing to do with that. You cannot rely your internal world on somebody else's internal world. Now, here's the thing. There's two sides, especially if you're in like the whole self-development world or dating advice world. There's gonna be the women that are gonna say, oh no, you have to be totally independent, have your life, step in your power, be a girl boss, and you get to choose whoever you want. Then you have the other side of the spectrum, which is like, oh, like if a man's coming in, like he's taking care of everything, like he's basically just gonna solve all your problems. And I think there's truth to both sides. So if you're anxiously attached and you listen to this kind of advice, it kind of leaves you in the middle of like, well, do I be independent and protect my these abandonment issues or whatever? Or do I find the person that I can just completely fall with and they will take care of my emotions and my finances and everything? Mental back and forth sounds chaotic, but that's how it really sounds in our minds with everything. But I need you to know that whatever back and forth there is about being dependent or not dependent on a man, that the goal is emotional independence, not financial independence. For the sake of our healing and to actually have happy relationships, let go of the finances for now. If you are financially independent and you're working on your career and that is your goal, go you. And that's not your vibe or your culture, and you strongly believe that you are going to be a stay-at-home mom and you're not going to be in a relationship until that is the case, also go you. All of our goals and our values and our cultures are different, but what remains at the end of the day is that if you are not emotionally independent, you will suffer. Because finances or a guy making you a home or whatever, these are external things and they can be given or taken away. But emotional independence is non-tangible and it is completely internal. Nothing is more attractive than one, a woman who is emotionally regulated by herself, but also a woman who has her own life. If you're in your anxious attachment to secure attachment era right now, I need you to know that this is not a temporary thing. If you are doing this as a coping mechanism for a breakup and you're thinking, oh, I can't wait till I get back with him or get into a new relationship so I can like let all this stuff go again, babe, you're gonna keep suffering. Emotional independence is for life. It's a lifelong journey. Oh, when the sun comes out, my energy comes out. This is not a temporary thing. And if you want to go from anxious attachment to secure attachment and you're working on yourself and you build this new persona does not die when you get into a new relationship or get back with that person, or if you get the reassurance that you're seeking. Instead, this is a lifelong change because it makes you 100 times more attractive. And healing your anxious attachment style makes you emotionally independent so that you can deal with your moods on your own and not rely on somebody else for your own internal world. And I need you to know that being anxiously attached is not who you are. It is just a style that can be changed. Damn, the sun. Guys, the sun is crazy. But my point is that you can define who you are in relationships and you can change that at any time. You're not stuck being anxiously attached, but you need to put the work in. Let's get into the action steps. I'm just going to preface again that you must fight your anxious attachment style. If not, it will ruin you. Imagine being 50 or 60 deep into your marriage and you're still depending on his mood and his actions to determine your internal world and to give you reassurance on where you guys stand in your relationship. What if you could be happy and control your own mood no matter how somebody else in the outside world was reacting? That is a powerful woman. And if you are anxiously attached in your marriage, what if your husband goes away on a work trip? What if he passes away? What if he experiences a death in his family that makes him seem distant? Will his lack of presence or acting this way make your life meaningless? I have to close the blinds. Okay, it's a chaotic video today, but I'm really passionate about this. Action step number one to shifting from anxious to securely attached is to, after this video, watch as many other videos and read articles or listen to podcasts about anxious attachment and really master and learn what it means to be anxiously attached so that you can spot all of these little actions and habits and thought patterns in yourself. So that way, anytime an anxiously attached little habit or thought comes up, it's a bell ringer in your mind. So you're going to learn how to read yourself instead of reading others and notice your anxious attachment habits and thought patterns coming up instead of making other people's emotions your responsibility or a reflection of you. Likewise, once you learn about that, then you are going to master and learn what secure attachment is so that you can mimic that. Because when a bell ringer goes off that you're acting anxiously attached, you need to know what to do now to shift to secure attachment. Listen when I say this. You have to get the mindset that people adore you and drool over you when you're securely attached, and that people are just repulsed and turned off by you when you're acting anxiously attached, because it is kind of repulsive and kind of a turnoff. Action step. Learn how to identify your own needs first. Start asking yourself questions like, how does this decision feel in my body? Is this what I really want? How would this make me feel? Questions spark curiosity, which sparks learning and change. Also, address your parental relationships, your past romantic relationships, the current one you have now if you have one, and your non-romantic relationships. How do you revolve your actions among other people's emotions in friendships and relationships? Like for the example I gave in the beginning, if I revolved my actions around my mom's anxiety, I would not be living in London right now, because me staying in the US would have soothed my mom's anxiety, but that it's not my problem that she's anxious. Can't make it my problem, and I have to go on living my life, and you have to do the same in your relationships. A big action step that will take its time is that you need to find a way to regulate your emotions without that person or an external validation. And it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Maybe this is just sitting with yourself. Maybe this is just counting 1, 2, 3 over and over again with your breath. Me, I like to color, but you're gonna find what you like to do. And I want you to think of it like this. Think of one of your big triggers in a relationship that triggers this anxious attachment. For many people, let's say that you just texted somebody like 5 times in a row and they haven't answered in 8 hours. Now, some of you would be freaking out right now. You'd be mad, you'd be anxious, you'd be worried, all your abandonment fears would come up. What are the coping skills that you would use in this situation to calm you down and get you to the mindset of, oh, like that person's probably just busy, and if there's anything wrong, like, you know, like the information will come to me if it's meant to be, like very much nonchalant, still caring, but not obsessive. What skills would you use in that moment that would calm you down to see the reality and get perspective on the situation? In order to do this, I want you to find 2 to 3 coping skills. I can give you a list here on the screen, and if not, they'll be in the show notes, that overall just help you reduce anxiety, whether it's compartmentalizing, whether it's breathing, whether it's other forms of just self-regulation and emotional regulation. Another fun action step is to identify things that are out of your comfort zone. And I want you to make this list however long you want, but let's just say 1 through 5, 1 being a small goal that gives you some anxiety, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, things that you think will make you very uncomfortable. And this can be in general, just things in your life that make you anxious, or if you're in a relationship or you have a crush or something, you can theme it to that. If you're still not sure what I mean, I'll give you my example so you can get an idea and get some inspiration. Let's say that I have a boyfriend, a talking stage, whatever, right now. My number one would be that I'm going to say no to the next time that he asks to schedule a meetup or hang out, and I'll reschedule it for another time and deal with the uncomfortableness that, oh, we could have been having such a fun time right now. Oh, maybe he's like out with other people, or maybe he'll forget about me, or all the unnecessary irrational thoughts that come up in anxious attachment style brains. And number 2 would make the next time that we meet up, like, make it inconvenient for him. Sometimes we don't want to be inconvenient because we're scared of being rejected or thrown away or just overlooked. But some girls don't know that guys eat it up when you're inconvenient. They are natural born chasers and hunters. Plus, it shows not only him, but yourself that you value your time and your presence and who you are. So you'd make it inconvenient by, let's say, maybe if the guy never picks you up or gets you an Uber, like, you make it in a way that he has to do that. For me, my number 3, I always had anxiety of having like a strict diet or something, or having certain like food goals for my fitness goals when I'm in a relationship, because I'm scared of being like boring or whatever. Now I'm totally fine with it, but then number 3 for me would be like going on like a 2-week, let's say, a gut cleanse diet or something that person has to cater to and be okay with. Number 4 would be simply just saying no to a date, like, no, I'm not interested, like, or I don't really feel like doing that, not even reschedule anything, just saying like no. Number 5 would be to not talk about the future until like month 2 or 3. This is just a list I made from the top of my head, right? But for me, I know myself, and especially my past self, and if the guy was talking about the future, I would, and I also want to talk about the future, but I know logically that it's probably not the time yet, I wouldn't want the guy to think I'm disinterested or not having his future plans mentally, so I would talk about it. But maybe it's not the best idea. So this is just a sample list, okay? You make your own. Again, this list can be in relation to the relationship with your parents or your friends, or just your overall life with all your relationships. You make it personalized to you. What this list will teach you is to deal with the uncomfortableness and the anxiety of things not going your way in relationships, or possibly being rejected or abandoned, even though I'm sure you probably won't, and I'm sure you'll be even more loved, because remember, secure attachment makes us more magnetic and more attractive, and it helps you to deal with the possibility of the worst case scenario. Another action step I want you to do is to work on your communication skills and bring things up before jumping to conclusions. If something is seriously on your mind and you are genuinely anxious about something going wrong in a relationship in your life, talk about it. Especially if you are a woman, our power is being vulnerable, and a lot of times, like, you don't want to fight men with logic, because they are naturally logical creatures. Of course, you are intelligent and you will talk with logic in conversations, but in general, when you're speaking about your emotions, nothing is better than a woman just being vulnerable, and that is what's going to make you heard at the end of the day, is when you are just fully straight on with your feelings. What if you actually don't have to bottle up everything inside? What if you actually don't have to be scared of expressing your concerns or your emotions because you're scared of the person dismissing you? Babe, woman up, like, just say how you feel and learn how to say things on the bat and communicate effectively. Another action step is to learn how to say what you want instead of saying what they didn't do. For example, instead of saying, why didn't you get me flowers last week, you'll say, I love when you get me flowers. Learn how to set boundaries. Make a list on your phone. Make a list on your phone. Maybe make it into 3 categories, like boundaries with yourself, with your romantic relationship, and with your friendships, or maybe your parents. And maybe under each section, start writing down 3 things of things that you just will not do, that you are not comfortable with, that are just simply your boundaries. My boundary with myself, I'm not going to buy a bunch of junk food for my house because I can't handle that stuff. In relationships, I will never accept being cursed at or screamed at, so that is a boundary for me. An easy way to decipher what your boundaries are if you're new to this is to think about where you feel resentment in relationships. If you think back and that time that you were so tired and he asked if you could make him food but you really didn't want to, but you said yes because your anxious attachment led you to being a yes woman, and that led you feeling to some kind of resentment, maybe that is a boundary that you need to put, that you are not just saying no when you feel tired and somebody's asking you to do something, but you can also communicate in that moment, like, hey, like, I would love to do this for you, but, like, I, like, literally do not have the bandwidth right now, and I have zero energy. Like, Learn to make that a boundary for yourself. If you feel resentment when you do sexy time when you're not feeling sexy, then make that a boundary for yourself, and also simultaneously learn how to communicate that effectively. Another thing that could help you is writing down how it has affected you in your life having this anxious attachment style. Maybe you have created sicknesses in your body or symptoms because you were seeking for that reassurance for them to come and get you and save you and nurture you, or you experience really intense breakups or really intense panics when they withdraw. Overall, having an anxious attachment style will sabotage your relationship if it's not managed properly and will hinder your future. And lastly, I need you to trust the people in your life and let life flow until they hurt you. Because the reality is that you probably don't have any evidence to back up that somebody is going to abandon you or hurt you or sabotage you or whatever. It's just your anxious attachment style acting up and making things run through your brain. And a lot of the times, I'm sure you have good discernment of who to keep in your life and who not to. It's part of life that people are going to hurt you and you're probably going to hurt people too. But constantly being anxious about relationships that you've led into your life, constantly worrying if they're going to backstab you or if they're going to cheat on you or if they're going to just disappoint you, it's going to riddle you with anxiety. And what if that person ends up being an amazing person and doesn't even end up doing any of these things? All you did was harm yourself, harm your mental health, harm your physical health, all because of anxiety towards a situation that never even ended up happening. When these anxious thoughts of betrayal or whatnot come up, learn to tell yourself, well, okay, let's just fall back and trust them. And then if they give me a reason not to trust them, the universe, God, whatever, it will show me in due time if I need to know. Learn to have fun sitting in your femininity, just letting life flow and being creative and being happy and just living in the moment with any relationship that exists in your life. I suggest that you go through every bullet point if you're committed to healing and come back to this video as many times as you need. For those of you who are just starting out, I have 3 action steps that you can do right now. They're at the end of the video, so if you want to skip ahead, you can do that. But I think you also need to know what it means to be securely attached. If you're shifting from anxious attachment style, you need to know what you're shifting to. So what does it mean and what does it look like to be securely attached? People who are securely attached communicate very clearly. They know that everybody sees them with their own perspective. Nobody is going to see you how you see you. Everybody is going to see you with their own lens and their own outlook on life and their own experiences with you as well. They take things with a pinch of salt. Every action, words, etc. that come out of people's mind, they know that it's not a personal attack on them. It's just a reflection of that person. If they are women, they are usually in their feminine energy, in their feminine power. The wounded feminine is the one who has these abandonment issues or these cheating issues or trust issues or whatnot. But when they can sit in their healed, true feminine power, they know that life is just going to work out for them, that they can flow, that they can trust until proven otherwise, and things will make their way out if need be. They know that sometimes people will be with you and sometimes they won't, and that's okay. If my husband goes on a business trip, I'll be alone for a while and I will fully enjoy it. And when he comes back, I'll be so happy and I'll hug him and I'll kiss him. And they are not defensive. You like me, you don't like me, okay, I don't need to justify myself if I like me and I know why I do the things I do in life. They have a let them mentality. They don't need to control other people's actions. They don't need to overlook into people's actions. They don't need to be constantly checking social media or locations or whatever to see if somebody is cheating or betraying or whatnot. They know that everybody is in control of their own actions, and whatever they do is probably not going to change somebody else's intentions. So just let people do what they're gonna do. We're all on our own journeys. Whoever rides with you rides with you, and who doesn't, it'll go away in due time. They know how to say, I'm sorry, I can't do it, meaning they have boundaries and know when to say no. Maybe they have a friend that needs help with a certain project, but they are so busy with their lives and they know how to say no in a way that's like, I really do want to help you with this project and I want to be there for you, but I currently just don't have the bandwidth to do it right now. And they know that that person is going to be understanding of that, and if they're not, then it's probably not their person. And in turn, they respect other people's boundaries and space. If they see that somebody is not texting them for 8 hours at a time, they know that person is probably at work or is probably busy, or maybe they just need some time off from their phone. They respect that. Or if they're in a relationship and the other partner needs time and space to think or whatever, they can respect that and are not going to go searching and poking for reassurance. People who are securely attached are free of old baggage and don't need to tell about their past traumas and relationships because they don't bring it into their new relationships. As women, they are vulnerable and they don't try to fight men with logic. They know how to be in their feminine energy and communicate saying how they feel. They don't think that they can control other people or what they do. They're only interested in controlling what they can control in their own lives. They know and they feel that that control in other people is exhausting and unattractive. They don't want or have this deep desire to be seen for their performance. They know that just by being themselves and looking how they look, whoever likes me, cool. And if I like you back, then cool, we're compatible, we can do life together. And that is that, because they're not going to change themselves or get a bunch of plastic surgery for somebody else to like them. They know that what matters is that if people love and are compatible with who they are inside, and they don't have a need to change their looks or their performance to make the other person like them or lure them in. Because at the end of the day, our bank accounts change, our looks change, our interests change, and we can't keep up a performance forever. They know that the key to connect with somebody is to enjoy the relationship and not control and keep them around forever. You are you and they are them, and you guys can blissfully coexist and also exist blissfully separately. And of course, they have a mindset of let them mess up now so I dodge a bullet. They're not scared of being alone, and they're not constantly checking if the other person is still interested in them or if they're cheating in a way to control how long that partner stays with them. Have you ever heard the saying that if you get on the wrong train, you better get off on the next stop, because the longer you take that train, the more expensive the journey is? People who are securely attached are more scared of being with the wrong person for too long when they could let the right person in. Learn to celebrate the fact that you dodged a bullet or that somebody doesn't want to be with you, because then that gives you back all of that time so that you can be with the right person and enjoy life with the right person. Because we are not here forever at the end of the day. People who are securely attached do not try to change people. They let them be. Accept them as they come or find somebody else. Accept me as I come or find somebody else. If we want to change for the better, it's a personal choice, not a forced thing. There was so much to unpack, but I really wanted this video to be like a 101 for you guys. And when I was learning about this, there were a lot of videos on anxious attachment that I feel like just gave a portion of the story, and I wish everything was just all in one video. Anyways, time for the action steps. Number one, I want you to journal or say out loud, or even just make a video diary on how anxious attachment has lowered the quality of your relationships and your life, and how your relationships could look like if you became securely attached. So first, write or talk about how it's affected you and all the negative aspects that it's brought. And then write or talk about what your life would look like or what your relationships would look like as a securely attached person. Number two, I want you to make a list of 3 or more coping strategies that help you calm down and center your anxious thoughts. You are going to need your toolbox in this trying and testing time, and in general, you need a toolbox for your whole life, because anxiety comes up for everybody. And lastly, I want you to make a list on your phone of 2 boundaries with your partner, with your friends, and with your parents. So that is a total of just 6 boundaries, and I want you to stick to them. You guys, that's all I have for today. If you liked this episode, if it was helpful, like, comment, share, do what you gotta do. Make sure to share this with somebody who you think would benefit from it and help other people out. I'm praying for your healing, and I know that you got this.